Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
You ain't shit.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
My fans can be the harshest critics, you know.
And they often are.
A wife is often the harshest critic of her husband.
I thought I was invincible. That's what you're trained to believe as a sports person.
There was 4 million people in Ireland who knew much more about managing football teams than I did. When it comes to music, I can spoof with the best.
Your sporting career is the best time you'll have, and, you know, you have to hang on to it for as long as your life, because everything else is pretty crappy.
And this is not lies. Stephen Rothschild has never spoken to Jim McGuinness in his life.
All right, 53106 is the text number here. If you want to get in touch with us, you can tweet us here at Off the Ball. Just to let you know that all of our GAA News Talk is with Borgosh Energy. Borgosh Energy, giving customers exclusive access to the GAA Hurling All-Ireland Senior Championship at BGE Rewards. Now, our Saturday panel this week, I'm delighted to welcome four of you to the Saturday panel. This is very special. How are you all doing?
Good, thanks. Yeah.
Right, Alan O'Mara, former Cavan goalkeeper. Still playing a bit of football?
Yeah, still playing with the club at home, Bailabur Shamrocks. So I was involved at the beginning of the year, did the pre-season and just had to step away to other commitments, but still on the beat and still keeping an eye on things.
Yeah. Danny, are you still playing a bit of club football?
No, I'm actually managing a team in Newry Shamrocks, County Down.
All right, so, they're senior?
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Is that you kind of getting off the fence and getting towards the point where suddenly it's like Danny Hughes, down manager?
Yeah, well, no, that's not going to happen, no. I think it's, I talk a good game, but whether I can deliver is another story.
Anthony Moyles, what's, you're in charge of?
Yeah, I'm managing Dunshaughlin year at Meath, yeah, so the second year at it now. So
former All-Ireland champions, expectations are high, obviously?
Well, not All-Ireland, yeah, close with Leinster champions.
Oh, sorry,
right, bet by Cross Malina. So yeah, expectations are high, so yeah, we played the other night against Dunboyne and we're bet, unfortunately, but we'll give it another crack, round robin, so.
Okay, so how many games?
Another four to go.
All right, that's good.
Yeah.
All right, Val Andrews, how are you?
No, Val Andrews, how are you?
What are you doing these days?
What am I doing these days? Yeah, I'm up in Dundalk with the clan, start as a coach.
Right.
Yeah, no more management, I'm too old for that, chair.
Right, okay.
A bit of coaching, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, it's good, they're going well, they're a great bunch of lads, they try hard. They got promoted last year, second in the league this year, so, yeah.
What's the championship structure there like?
That doesn't start until July, like, so it's, you know,
when Louder are hopefully out of the championship.
Louder will be a slightly different case, yeah.
Alright, look, we want to talk a good bit about the actual contenders this year, but I think maybe we might try and park all the discussions about the structure of the championship, because let's face it,
it's going to change.
Yeah, I think everyone's happy with that. Yeah.
So Bernard Flynn had a good go at Aidan O'Shea this week for signing a few autographs and getting a few pictures with kids.
Yeah, ridiculous.
That's 2 years. Come here. No, I can look at Aidan gets picked on a little bit, but in fairness, like, if you're a manager, he should attend to his warm down first, well, and then do it. But to be honest, it's great to see that he does spend time with the kids, but he should combine both a little bit better.
He did. So the thing is, he did actually. So Nathan, Scoop Murphy did a bit
Scoop.
Of there were two challenge matches, 45 minutes and 45 minutes. He played the full first one, he came on in the second one for a bit of a runaround. So, you know, apparently by all accounts at the end of the first one he was in his huddle the way he was supposed to be and had done all that stuff. So this is at the end of a second challenge that they were getting full value for the fact that the two teams had come together.
Yeah, so, I know. Well, I'd be probably a bit too black and white now, and I still think that team is about team, and that the bottom line is that if you're warming down, you're with your teammates first and then attend to your media duties afterwards.
I know, but it wasn't media duties. Like, on a flip side of that, it's not as if, I doubt Aidan O'Shea ran towards this crowd of people and said, can I get pictures with you? Like, they ran to him. Like, I just thought the article was just nonsense. But, like, what you want to do? Push past kids and say, sorry, I have to go and do my warm down? Like,
no, it's easy enough managed. Like, I mean, you can do both. It's not, like, to be honest, he's to be commended for spending so much time with the young fellas. Now let's get that straight, like, but there is a way of combining both, like, you know what I mean. It is not good to be outside the group of your team, and that's you know what I mean, especially given the high profile and maybe his previous history with management.
Says the manager in the room.
Yeah, well, you can see that argument. You can definitely see that. No, you can. You know, and like, I mean, you know, if I was a manager and, you know, you pulled everyone in and all of a sudden you see one lad walking off and he's, and you're going, come on, come into the group. You know, that absolutely would be a little bit off-putting. There's no doubt about it. And for a fella like him, he definitely doesn't need to put any more kind of targets on his back, you know. But at the same time, like, we weren't there. I wasn't there. You know, no, okay, Bernard Flynn said he was there. So he saw whatever was happening. I think O'Shea, even getting beyond this, I think for him as an individual, he, you know, I saw the Keith Duggan article this morning in the Irish Times where he's kind of talking about Murphy, you know, and saying that Murphy was a massive leader for Donegal and he brought them through, and lads have been questioning this with O'Shea. But like, O'Shea has to realise, and I think people have to realise, that he's just another cog in the wheel there. And the management of Mayo actually have to realise that, listen, we just want you to do your job. Because I have an awful impression of him when I see him play, that he's trying to do a bit of everything. You know, he's trying to catch ball, he's trying to get scores, he's trying to break up tackles, he's trying to run at defences. Where he actually has to get a position this year and just say, that's it for you. You're going in the edge of the square or you're going at 11. Let's just stick you there and let's let everyone else work around you. And I think that'll actually help him.
Isn't it clear that none of this was an issue when James Horan was there, who had a very defined, specific role for him, but that when it came in to a management team who didn't know what to do with him, they're like, oh, you can go out to midfield now for certain kickouts. The rest of the time we want you in full forward. That's where that confusion comes from. It's not like he's dictating, I'm going to go in and play full forward here.
I don't think so. Yeah, and like, I mean, that just adds to the kind of confusion around him, and then also this kind of, I suppose, the hype around him, that he's kind of seen as the main man who has to fill all these different holes and
but
go wherever's a problem.
I think you've hit on there. Like, he's doing himself no favours. I don't, like, to be honest, like, Aidan O'Shea is a good fella. Like, you know what I mean? Don't get me wrong, and he's talented, right? But the bottom line is, don't be putting all these targets in your back. Do you know what I mean? Get on with your primary job of just playing football and keep a lower profile. Like, if he was in Kerry, like, he wouldn't. Do you know what I mean? It's certainly nearly built into them that they keep lower profiles. Or the meat team of the 80s now, do you know what I mean? He would find it hard in the dressing room with his profile and that. So for his own sake, to take the pressure off himself, he should go under the radar. He should stay away from it all.
He is under the radar.
To be honest,
it's just that he gets picked on by people like Bernard Flynn.
I think the articles, and Bernard, I have a great respect for him, great time for him, he's a great character. But it's a known article for me. Like, who cares if he goes off and signs a few articles or a few autographs for young children? You know, at the end of the day, I don't think the fella is creating a target for himself. He's just being himself. You've seen him on that programme, the AIB one.
Yeah.
And, you know, even the way he dresses and stuff like that, he just I think he's just a very laid-back sort of character. And is it any different from what the Dublin boys are doing when they're selling washing machines or selling, you know what I mean? But, you know, there's media stuff like there, and I can't blame them for trying to get a few pound of it. Nate O'Shea does media stuff. So what? Let him at it. And I personally think it's a nice story, to be honest.
Can I just add to that? And that, because, like, I get sick of hearing this, like, you know, there's no characters in the GAA and everyone, like, you know, there's just no one there anymore. And then, like, there's a lad who's very confident himself, he's very confident, he's very outgoing, he's very authentic, he's happy being himself, and people just lampoon him for it. And then they wonder why half the lads are running for the hills when they come calling. Like,
yeah, that's very
come
true.
Come on, lads, like, we have to wait
for him with a big stick,
like,
for standing out of line.
Like, he's just being himself. And, like, Aidan O'Shea is very different to me and he's very different to Danny. And that's fine, like, he's being himself.
So I think this is on the back. Like, this is probably, you know what I mean? You have a row with somebody, but really it's about something else. Do you know what I mean? And maybe it goes back to the historical stuff. Like,
it comes back to Holmes and Collins.
And that's the bottom. Yes, could. Thing.
But they weren't good managers.
Right, here's an interesting stat here. You love this one. I added a bit of a nail Nick Sarkon once, you know what I mean? And, I had to do kickouts for Dublin versus Mayo, right? Dublin versus Mayo. And I was looking at who kicked the ball to who, right? 14 kickouts in the first half of a league match, a National League game, right, in Mayo. And out of the 14, 11 of them were directed to an O'Shea. 11 were hit at them.
One of the two.
Out of 14, right? Yeah. And who was the goalkeeper? And then,
Henley.
You know what I mean? So, like, I mean, if you take it, like, it is alleged, like, I mean, the change in influence and picking and all this sort of stuff, you know? So, I don't know. I think that's why he's suffering. I don't want to see that lad suffer. Like, I think he has talent. Like, I'm actually just doing as an older head, saying, take the pressure off yourself. That's what I'm saying.
But
like,
hang
take
on.
The pressure
so
off.
Let's just follow that through, right? So, say they are going to management, going, listen, we're not getting the kick-outs that we normally get. It means that our game... That's up to the manager to go, okay, Gran, we'll fix that. As opposed to going, okay, Jesus, we have to do exactly what you say. Do you know what I mean? It's like they're the only ones who have any power or any say, as opposed to the, this is a collaboration between the management and...
I think
players... And don't you want your players coming to you and saying...
You want players to take ownership, you want to empower them, you want to whatever it is, like... You know
what
I mean?
At the same time,
I'm just saying, if you see... Okay, let's be honest. If you see a change of a goalkeeper for replay for not Ireland, you know what I mean? And it just happens to go really, really badly. Yeah.
That's the manager's job, though, right?
Mm. Yeah. The manager shouldn't.
But if you were probably...
The manager should make the call, like...
But if you have a number of individuals within the panel who have a big influence on the panel, which always happens, you know, and if you get a group, like, there's always been cliques in panels, you know, you get a group of kind of older fellas with some of the younger guys coming through who, and all of a sudden you have a force of 7 or 8 who will dictate meetings and can influence a lot of
people. Because these type of characters are the type of characters that will take you through big games and win. You need a change room full of characters, and if nobody's brave enough to stand up in a meeting or in a players meeting or a management meeting and tell you what I think the line is when there's meetings going on,
pre-meetings
when the management are aware of it, or when there's
there has to be healthy respect, stuff that's
going on, that you're nearly creating a coup type scenario. But for the Holmes and Connolly type thing, I actually think that Holmes and Connolly, good men and all that they were, they're getting decent expenses for running the team, and a player like Aidan O'Shea gets the opportunity to do something like the Sunderland, the soccer one, which he probably would enjoy. Maybe he's getting a few pounds for it, and you know, and that's being prevented. He's being stopped from doing that because of the bigger picture. Like, where's the player in all that? You know, he's probably saying, he's resenting the fact that everybody else is getting a few pounds, doing well at the GA. And he's saying, right, no, you have to give everything here, give everything here. You know, where is the individuality about that? And Aidan O'Shea, at the end of the day, he's a marketable guy. He's a super footballer. And why would they stop him from going to something like that?
Well, I don't see any reason they should. Like, I mean, you know, seeing as you three lads are on the far side representing the players, I stay over here. But, you're completely logical and rational and that. Like, and I see no reason why you should, you know what I mean, if it's something like a nice little treat like that comes along, let them off. Yeah. And just say, here. And, that was early in the year.
Yeah. That was early in the National League where, you know, let's be honest, it's a National League. It wasn't interrupting with the Championship. So, I think it was probably silly from Holmes and Connolly not to get that senior group, like you said, Anthony, on your side. But getting them on your side,
I think we should also, I just want to be clear, like, I mean, that thing is, I'm only talking, forget it was Aidan O'Shea, I'm just talking as a management principle stroke process, as Anthony would have agreed with there. When you call in a huddle, right, and you're going to do whatever, maybe we shouldn't be calling huddles, but if you call in a huddle, there's nothing worse than one fella standing outside. That is not good for your team morale and your team culture, if you're building a team culture. I'm not saying that, I keep coming back to say, fair play to them for spending time with the kids, and I've seen them doing that, and that has to be really, really admired, because we need more of that, right? But, like, it's just a little bit of balance. Maybe he just needs a little bit of guidance to say, Aidan, come here, just tell them kids, or get somebody to go over, he'll be with you in a minute. I mean, it's that simple.
Let's move on, because we do want to talk about Dublin, Kerry and everybody else. Who's going to stop Dublin? Who can stop them?
Kerry.
And that's it.
That's a short conversation.
There may be one or two more. Like, I mean, Mayo are going to be in the mix again.
Have they come back to the pack? Or to the league kind of somewhat?
I think the pack have certainly improved a bit. I think it's just a byproduct of teams kind of who have been better prepared over the last number of years, eventually bridging that gap of preparation that Dublin have had for the last, say, 10 or 15 years. So Dublin would have got all of that correct and got all the things lined up. And teams then eventually realise, okay, we have to do the exact same thing. So they've some of the more progressive ones grasped the nettle, I think, and have closed the gap. Have they closed it enough? Probably not. I think Dublin, you know, like, I mean, obviously very, very strong. I think seriously strong still from 1 to about probably 10, 11, 12. But I think inside forward line, I think I'm just
I'm a little bit suspect on it. You know, I think Bernard has been, you know, there for a long time, and has been a serious servant and a massive leader in that lineup. Dean Rock, I think probably he needs to show more. I think his free taking, absolutely, that's unstoppable. But from general play, and then Paddy Andrews has been in and out, has had a few bad injuries. You know, different things going on. Who really does Costello? Costello, I suppose he has had a couple of really bad hamstring tears. So, you know, who's the man? Mannion seems to kind of a bit of a lone wolf. I've just yet to see them that they have really got an inside forward line that, as a full back line, you go, okay, we're really worried about this.
Is there a change in the style of play, which means that the inside forwards are getting ball much later than they used to be getting it, that they're recycling a lot more around the midfield half back line, and so suddenly that job is way more difficult than it was 2 seasons ago?
Well, Dublin, I suppose, are playing to a framework, like, and in terms of that, like, so if you, like, I mean, most of the time, by the time you get the ball up, they don't get that much quick ball in. Now, if you've seen in one or two of the league games, they actually tried to kick it in against Roscommon. I think they kicked 4 or 5 diagonal balls in that Brogan. But normally that's probably to give them a second wing. Normally the two inside forwards will split to the wings, and you'll see a lot of looping and changing direction on the 45, you know, to break down a lot of the mass defences that we see. Like, I mean, Dublin are a very good team. I would concur, like, I mean, it's Dublin, if they perform to their potential, right, and that's a big if, right, they are the best, and that's you know, I would say that's sort of overconfident, yeah, but that's a big if. Are they going to perform to that level again? Kerry showed in the league final, I think it'll be interesting. Like, Kerry have, not alone do they have footballers, but what they really have is the attitude. Do you know what I mean? They believe, like, they see a sky blue jersey in Croke Park in September, they're not afraid of it, they want to go with that. Like, whereas other teams are a little bit sort of, the blue jersey is nearly 4 points of a start.
I think, like, Dublin definitely eased back towards that pack over the course of the league, but I think it's important to say that they're on a very different training schedule to what some teams like Cavanaugh's Common Monaghan into that league, they're peaking to hold on to that status.
True.
Dublin, certain lads are given leeway to go off for a couple of weeks, get the body right, they're chipping away at it, and I still think come summer I think you'll see a slightly different variation of Dublin.
What, like?
You could be right there, yeah.
Like, no, I know. Like, there's lads, yeah, lads are, yeah, given time off, and whereas other, like, the likes of other Division 1 counties are absolutely hammering lads during the league. And I think you mentioned Mayo there as well, Anthony. I think Mayo copied that a little bit this year in terms of
letting
training load
off
and peak times, yeah, because it's just something.
That's why Aidan O'Shea's not playing, for example, this weekend. Is that they feel like they're going to be okay against
Sligo. Why rush him back for league then towards for a couple of league games if you can get him right for a peak in? At the end of the day, at this stage, for Dublin, for Kerry, for Mayo, it's about being on your A game for about an 8 week period in August to close September.
I don't think Mayo can afford to leave. I don't think Mayo have that depth that Dublin have. Dublin and Kerry are outstanding, and I think Dublin could play their second string right through Leinster, really, up into the final, and they'll pull in big guns. But you know, they're picking August. Same with Kerry. Let's be honest, Cork are.
How many games do you need to play before you feel like you've got form? Because if Mayo go through the front door to reach an All-Ireland final, it's 6 games.
Well, that's you know, I suppose the argument from Ulster would be that they're coming out, and this is part of Ulster tradition, etc., etc. You're coming out of maybe 6 or 7 games, and Ulster Championship is nearly like a championship in itself, because of the physicality of it. A very, very difficult championship to win.
When you were playing, though, like, when did you feel like, okay,
we were usually out. So we were actually just getting ourselves prepared for qualifiers. And no, the caravan was.
But on that one, Danny, like the large majority of the Ulster teams have to have A game for first round championship, because you're going to get knocked out. Whereas I don't, Dublin, that's not.
But it's
that's
such
not where they're at.
It's such a prestigious championship as well. To win the Anglo Celt, a lot of teams can go back and say, geez, that was a successful year. Like Tyrone last year.
It's difficult to manage that, right?
It's
incredibly difficult.
Kerry are the same. They don't really obviously need to do anything until All Ireland quarter final time. But like, you want your players to be, okay, I know what my role is. I know how I'm going to play over the 75, 80 minutes, however long the game goes. I know my partnerships. I know exactly. How do you hone that? Can you realistically get that perfect in training?
Probably. Well, you can try, absolutely. Yeah, you get close to it, I think, and then you do certain challenge games. But then I suppose you take one or two risks maybe in some of the lesser games. You know, you come into those games maybe a little bit undercooked, with the idea that, okay, we'll get over this. I think we have enough to get over this. and it'll bring us on with the eye on down the prize. You know, I think you kind of have to do that. Mayo did that a little bit last year, and they got caught. You know, it's a thing where you have to, you know, just as you say, try to manage it. It's very hard to peak, bring it back down, peak, bring it back down.
Yeah.
You know, this periodic training, whatever else they talk about, it's quite difficult to do that. And as an inter-county panel, it's quite difficult to do that.
But if you're Bernard Brogan and you're saying to yourself, right, I've played very little National League football. I'm 32, 33 years of age. I'm saying to myself, right, get ready for a quarter final, get ready for a semi final, get ready for a final. He plays three good games, he gets an All Star.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, and you don't double him in an All. And that's the reality.
I think that's what Jim has got very good at managing in that. So, but lots of boys are different. So, there's certain characters that need to play all the league to be flying and going, I'm really at it, I'm on my game here. I've been at it all year and I'm flying. But I think the likes of Bernard is comfortable enough to say, like, am I ready to go? Yeah, now let me at it. And it might take that one game or two against back to sharpen up the touch, but he's comfortable in the sense of going, like, I'm okay here.
You look at Alan as alluded to it, like, the bottom line is they split the squad, you know, and they're going to split the squad into those people we say are aged and need rest, and those people, and it's an individualised program, an individualised approach, like, and the bottom line is, like, they're probably looking and saying, we don't really look at the league, it's not really a priority, we'll see how we go, we give it the second string, not the second string, but the lads are run, right? We'll rest certain fellas. And Leinster, yeah, we need to be maybe the final, we need, or whatever, even before that. Like, but traditionally, in the last, like, I mean, Dublin have won 11 in the last 12, like, you know what I mean? So they're probably saying here, look, we can really periodise it, individualise the programmes. We'll rest him, we'll get him right for such and such. They have enough backroom staff and sports scientists to do this.
It's the best of both worlds as well, because Bernard's, just take Bernard for example, he's coming back in, and some lad has been playing all league and he's been playing well, so Bernard can't come back in going, I'm going straight back in.
No, true.
And Jim's brilliant at managing
this. They've got the composition.
Whereas if Bernard's from another county, he's going to walk back in and go, grand, straight back in the team. But he's got to come in, and when he gets his chance, he's got to take it. And that's an incredibly difficult thing to manage. Yeah. So I think it's something A's that Jim's been brilliant at.
You've the A's versus the B's, this type of thing, you know, and you've all that, you know, fellow, like Jim would be saying, oh, you have the jersey, you keep the jersey, but you know yourself, it'll be all of that. I think, just getting back to Dublin and Kerry, I think by the change of Dublin's play, as Val alluded to, which is this kind of idea where they I think after the Donegal defeat, they really looked at, okay, we have to have an ability where we're able to actually hold on to the ball more, and we're able to get runners coming around on the loop, be a bit more patient. But by changing that play, they have lost that kind of, you know, nearly Kevin Keegan style, if you know what I mean, that we're going to outscore you, and we'll defend and we'll outscore you again. And it was all go, you know, big scores. If you actually look at it, a lot of the games have been relatively tight games at the business end of things.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't blown teams away. So, you know, the Kerry game, the league final, they got caught a little bit because Kerry were able to break, kick long, and then go at it. And they had obviously the players to execute that.
But even the Kerry semi final last year, it was grave danger gone out at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it's getting close to a point where, you know, the teams will look like Dublin won't really blow you apart if you can stick with them physically, you know, and fitness wise and all of that, which Kerry did manage to do this year. So if you can get that box ticked, you can say to yourself, okay, now we need to set up, we need to watch all the looped runners, we need to really, really make sure we're protecting, you know, the scoring zones, and then we need to obviously try to get pace up front and try to kick ball to try to put them under pressure turning around.
Are there any,
and that's the blueprint, I think, for a lot of teams.
Well, or certainly for Kerry and Mayo, are there any other teams in the country who might be able to at least make a game out at this point?
Tyrone will always be competitive. They like playing in Croke Park. They like their setup in Croke Park. They have a few really good transition players. Where they fall down is that when they bring it up to the corner forwards and that.
That's
as you see, as you seen, like, last year, they kicked, I don't know, many ones.
With Tyrone, like, I don't think they would beat Dublin because, like, Peter Donnelly's their coach now, and I know Peter very well. He's with us. He was with us from Cavan for a couple of years. He's an absolutely amazing coach, and he's brilliant at that running game, that transition game, and it works brilliantly for Ulster. But I think playing that style against Dublin plays into their hands because you're automatically stepping off them, you're inviting them on, you're letting them have the ball. And I think the Mayos and the Kerrys, they're starting to cause Dublin problems because they're actually pushing up and saying, okay, let's have a go here. In patches, there is times where you've got to soak up pressure and push back. But I think the way Tyrone set up, for example, and the way the Monaghan set up, I think it's built that it's just stacked to suit Dublin because they end up with more ball. One of the stats Dublin work a lot on, I have to know, is shots, the number of shots and shot conversion, and they're really good at it. But if you give them more ball, and if you let them have, if they have more ball, they're going to have more shots. And if they have more shots than you, they're going to score more than you.
Donegal, I think Donegal have more potential to live with Kerry and Dublin as opposed to Tyrone. Tyrone, I think, just playing straight jackets. Mm. And I just can't understand this last couple of years. Whether they're not allowed to or they don't have the ability to just throw the shackles off and go at it. A couple of years ago, they actually played Dublin and they went at it in the first half, and then they regressed and regressed and regressed.
It doesn't feel like Tyrone have made the progress that everybody assumed they were going to make.
No, I think, you know, it's as good as it has got for Tyrone. I think Donegal are in a better position, but Ulster, I generally think, are just a wee bit behind. It's nearly like Manchester United and Arsenal in the 90s, and then there's a group that's just behind that.
Yeah,
and
that's Ulster be competitive though. You know, like, Ulster will be really competitive this year.
But on the Ulster thing, because there's such prestige and there's such value on it, and the competitiveness levels is huge, we all sort of tend to conform to scrap and beat each other, and sort of we cancel each other out, and that, okay, we're back, we're counter-attacking. And that makes for very close competitive games. But them systems, I don't believe anymore, beats Dublin. Because they've learned their lesson. Donegal made them sit down and do their homework. So Ulster's brilliant, and they're really good games. But I just think those systems... look, all the others, like the other Leinster teams, like your Longfords and Westmeads, they go and try that. Like, it's a waste of time. It's just a waste. It's a complete and utter waste of time.
It hasn't worked yet.
Yeah, right. But what I'd say on that, though, is they try it, right? But they try it because it's and it's completely alien to them. They're not used to play. So they decide two weeks before the Dublin game, okay, lads, we're going to set up defensively.
It doesn't work
players
like that.
Going,
like.
That in the white heat of battle, their head just goes back to what they're used to, what they've been playing for the last 20 odd years of their life. So,
but Tyrone have went the same route, only opposite. You know, they've regressed in the defensive system, and now they can't go the other way.
Yeah.
They've Peter Hart coming off a shoulder. Ronan O'Neill, who would be racking up big scores in club games, maybe wouldn't touch the ball 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, but I think so. If you can marry the two, which I think Kerry have done.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Fitzmaurice has gone, okay,
yeah,
we need to mind the house. We need to frustrate them. We need to get certain man markers on their real... Look, I mean, you can pick them out. You know who are going to be the massive danger men.
Yeah.
And then what we do is we try to kick the ball, get it down to our danger men as quick as possible.
And they need all their players playing unbelievably well for that to work. Everybody has to be...
on top of their
absolutely.
Game. Yeah, and to do a full court press that Kerry are doing, or we say did in the league final, right, means that you have to have more than 15 athletes to match, because it comes back to your original point, is that you have to match Dublin physically because it's Croke Park, it's big white space
for
you haven't got athletes. We like going up the field, putting it over your head and kicking it in.
But do you know the funny thing about Kerry that I noticed from that league fight? Bloody good footballers.
I know.
These lads are good footballers. Like,
they were talking.
But you know, when you look at Dublin and how good they are, everybody talks about Connolly, and he is fantastic. Look, at some of these young Kerry lads have come through. Bloody good footballers.
Very balanced.
But he's gone and picked a certain type of player. If you look at look at Marley, like, he can cover ground. Absolutely. Everybody he's gone for is young. Shanahan from Austin Stacks. They're all whippets. They're well able to stick with the lads.
I've got to take a quick break. Before I do, this brilliant text from John. In Ireland, we love to knock people down. I coached Aidan O'Shea on an Irish basketball team as a 15-year-old. His personality then towards his teammates was fantastic. If anyone on his team had any issues, there'd be whispers heard from them by now. Joe Canning is a great hurler and also continuously knocked down. I think great players are continuously knocked until they win in All-Ireland. Pity us Irish do this all the time. Paddy Jackson not trusted till he wins a trophy as well. I think the point about Canning is brilliant, because this season Canning has a defined role, a nailed on position, everybody knows exactly where he's playing and there's no doubts about it, and suddenly everybody goes, geez, Joe Canning's really good at hurling again, as opposed to the last couple of years, is he a midfielder, is he a full forward, where is he playing?
Megan, I think for Aidan's sake, I think, and maybe you're talking about the management, I think Rochford has to actually sit him down and say, listen,
you're a centre forward,
this is where I'm putting
your job,
and you don't have to win the game on your own, you just have to do your job. Make sure you put an X on the six, you clean him out, you take a few kickouts, you command that breaking ball, deliver ball, get a few scores, job done.
What Aidan O'Shea needs to do now is go out with a Sky Sports presenter and then he's really going to be targeted.
GAA on News Talk is brought to you by Borg Gosh Energy, official electricity partner to the GAA. Follow hashtag hurling to the core for all the senior hurling championship action.
Off the ball on News Talk, thanks to AIR. Catch all the sports you love free on the AIR Sport Pack with AIR Broadband.
All right, Val Andrews, Danny Hughes, Alan O'Mara and Anthony Moyles are with us. You can text us here on 53106 or you can always tweet us at Off The Ball. We're talking about the Football Championship. Everybody thinks Dublin are going to actually win it, or do you have an inkling that this is the year they get caught?
I don't think they'll win it. I think Kerry will win it.
Yeah. Why the improvement in Kerry then?
I just think it's been coming. You know, you look through the minors, you look over the last underage success the last number of years, I just think it's been coming. And what he has done is, I think Fitzmaurice has realised this in the last couple of years. He kept some of the, shall we say, older, more experienced lads that were waning a little bit. He tried to get the last absolute drop out of them, which I think he did. And now he's realised, okay, time to pass the baton over. And he has these young lads coming through. I think he's gelled them well. He's blooded them well in leagues and different stuff. And as Val says, he has now, he's got a situation. I think I saw the average age. Like, the average age has dropped massively on that team, you know, and the league final showed that. And as I said, the one thing Dublin have done, and even over the last number of years, where, say, Meath have thought, okay, we're getting closer. They might last with them for 55, 60 minutes, 60-something, 2 minutes, but then, boom, 7-8 minutes, blown out of it, you know, 1-7 scored against you, where lads are just absolutely flagged, can't keep up. The subs who are coming on are not making the same kind of impact, and Dublin have just emptied the bench and blown you out of the water. That didn't happen in the league final, you know. So they now, he obviously trained them really. Like, I mean, there was as fit as I've ever seen a Kerry team come into a league campaign. So he focused on it, and he also said he needed to give them that win for their own confidence to say, now you see, you can do it.
I would change that opinion with a little bit of them. One fact, I suppose, Connolly was sent off, right? Do you know what I mean? They were 5-2 up at that time. That's something around that.
Might 5-2. Happen again, though.
Oh, no. Damn, I talked to him this morning, Grant. Yeah. Now, yeah, okay, fair enough. Fair point. And you know, right. So that was a big loss. If you look at the number of people taking the field, yeah, that perhaps will be there in September. Yeah, had we 10? I don't know. Off the top of my head, I can't remember, to be honest. And I think the most important thing is that Kerry are at a more advanced stage of, we say, sharpness, as opposed to Dublin. I mean, the beat on the street, or maybe just anecdotally, would be that Dublin haven't been killing themselves during the league, and haven't, all the players certainly haven't been playing. So therefore, like,
there was a perception that they peaked last year in August instead of September. That was what.
Yeah, and they've probably set about addressing that. Yeah, like, yeah, I mean, Kerry will definitely be there. Dublin will definitely be there. Donegal, yeah, you'd concur with that too. Like,
well, let's talk about Donegal and Monaghan, obviously, both in action this weekend. Donegal, I thought there were real periods in the league where there was 10 or 15 minutes in games where suddenly you were seeing three or four very young players hairing up the pitch, just bringing a completely different style of play, playing with an abandon, and you're like, hang on a second, I thought Donegal were supposed to be 5 years in the doldrums, everybody's retired. But actually it looks like they've been regenerated really quickly.
Yeah, I think from looking at a few, especially a few of the younger lads, I think they've really re-energised that side, and it needed that. But I suppose you add them in, and they still have the likes of, like you say, Michael Murphy and McBurdick, they're still 26, 27, yeah, 28, they're young lads, like, they're not, like, they might have mileage on the clock. I think Donegal will be very, very competitive this year, but I would also wonder if it's a year too soon for them a little bit. They're definitely going to be there in the shake-up, but when it comes to the Kerrys and the Dublins, I still think they're one rung down on the ladder, to be honest.
They could reach an All-Ireland semi-final.
Oh yeah, completely. And I'd love to see them do that, and I'd love to see that sort of, particularly the energy and the youthfulness that they bring. I think it would inject a little bit into the thing, because everyone's a bit bored, it's Dublin, Mayo, Kerry.
Definitely, yeah.
And we need, and I just, I'd love the idea of a young side coming in and having a real cut and saying, we're here, like, let's go at it.
I think McBurdy's will rely on it. I think this has to be a big year for him. You know, he's been kind of thereabouts the last few years. This is a big year for him. He really has to kind of step up and lead that line now this year.
But you know, when you look at the Dublins, the Kerrys, they have a number of go-to players. I think Donegal, the other teams where they're falling down, Tyrone, Donegal, is because they maybe only have one or two go-to men. You're going to need Murphy, you're going to need McBrady, you're going to need the new guy, Kieran Thompson, that we talked about. You know, the fact that Oran McNeilish is away again, that's going to be a blow. But for the job that he's done since he's come in after McGuinness, you know, I think Gallagher's done a phenomenal job.
Yeah.
I think he's really done a phenomenal job.
We were making the point during the week as well, this is his team now, it's not McGuinness's team anymore. That era is over, and everybody understands that too. So we'd Michael Murphy in at the start of the season when he was doing the toughest as well, and he was like, look, team's in transition. And you know, does that not annoy you that the team's in transition? Actually, these young lads are pretty good, you know. And
they'll be
the start of the league campaign, whatever, he has to say you see them, it's like, actually they really are. And he obviously knows that, because they've had really good success at underage level. So who knows? What about Monaghan, though? Because here's a team who should have been in All-Ireland semi-finals over the last number of years. And in Conor McManus, they had basically an unmarkable footballer for a long period of time, it seemed, until they got to Croke Park, and then particularly Tyrone over the last couple of seasons managed to stop them. Has their ship sailed?
They've added in Jack McCarron, right? And Jack McCarron definitely is an addition. He scored 1-9 against Dublin. 1-9. Now, people would say that a bit of a mistake to let him score 1-9, but...
And it's a league game.
It's a league game too. Like, but it certainly will, if he reproduces half that form in the championship,
scoring.
He will help McManus. He'll take a bit of heat off him, if nothing else. Like, I mean, Kieran McManus, like some of the scores that he kicked in some of the league games, you know what I mean? Like, they're unreal stuff. Mm. Like, but I think Manon are a little bit, as the lad says, they're probably a forward short of going towards the top table.
Yeah. I think Jack as well, like, because of the league campaign he's had, and he was fantastic and he kicked some amazing scores, but he's probably going to receive a level of scrutiny now that he's never got before. And I think that's going to be really interesting to see how he handles that. And they've got two dangerous lads inside, and if they can get them on the ball, they'll be a very, very good side. But I think the boys are, like, they're going to be two very heavily marked men.
I'm not sure as he made his championship debut in McCarron. I think he has.
I'm not sure, but he's been
in around there for a while. He's had rotten luck with injuries. I've seen him play a couple of times even when he was younger. He's a very, very good footballer.
Yeah.
He's had rotten luck with injuries.
He'd
be 20, he's a year or two younger than me. He'd be 20, sort of 4, should say.
Okay. See, McManus is still the man, and he's been there a long time. But I think Manon are just, I think they're, as you say, about a couple of...
They're missing Darren Hughes with a cruciate. Like,
that's a big loss. Yeah, because I think what it affects then is, sometimes when I look at them, I kind of go, okay, what way are they playing? You know, like, is it about, you know, two-man full forward line, you draft everyone back, you try to find space in front of McManus? Is it a running game? Is it a running game to draw people out and then have McManus on the... Like, sometimes it's kind of very off the cuff, I think, yeah, you know, and you kind of go, Jesus, I'm not really sure.
It's a hugely... Sorry.
You're right,
they're working at... You know, they're overworking nearly.
Yeah.
And that's what they need to get through a league. They're overworking and getting brilliant results in the league, but it's a very, very intense kind of game that they play, and it's gone hold.
Funny enough, they might have hit on something by the absence of Hughes, but because they're putting your man Carroll O'Connell into midfield, and Carroll O'Connell, now, for what I can see of him off the television and that, like, is like a grade A sort of athlete, like, you know, the modern day midfield is mobility. I mean, how many free catches are you getting? Like, and most of them are sort of kicked into space, and the fellas run onto it. It's not this aerial stuff.
He's really huge for them on transition.
Like, yeah. He's going to be like, he was left half back. He's probably easier to say here. He's left half back. Mm. We'll stop him coming forward. Midfield, it's hard, very hard to stop midfielders.
Cornerback, did he?
He started out cornerback, but he came in at wing back now when I was playing wing forward.
He was in DIT when I was coaching their Sigerson team, and he's a slight enough fella, like, because he was in cornerback for a game. Well, he only lasted about 10 minutes there because he opened up the legs after one go, and he's an absolute... He's a grade A bolter, like, but he can score as well. And on the Darren Hughes injury, like, that's... People are on about Jack and Connor being side, and I thought that was great, but the bit that I was really interested in would have been the knock-on, because that Monaghan over the years have had to play Kieran or Darren inside to try and mix that up. So having Jack and Connor inside was actually going to give them Darren, Kieran, Carl, these sort of runners coming from deep. And I thought it was going to give them a lot. From a Cavan perspective, obviously delighted, like, but from a neutral perspective, I thought it would have been very interesting to see what the knock-on dynamic was of having Jack inside.
Yeah.
Because, like, Kieran and Darren have had to play in there in patches. And them boys' games is out the field running really hard. And Carl, you've got Colin Walsh coming to the field as well, another really, really good footballer. But they must have something.
Didn't they beat, like, I mean, they bet Kerry away and they bet Mayo away.
But they, like,
you know, I mean, they had Dublin beaten at home. You know what I mean? And so therefore, they're going to take some... They might take some of the outplay.
True, but I agree with Danny. I think they were, when I looked at them, they looked like they were flying. You know, they didn't look like there wasn't any lads coming in with another bit of not
timber.
that you come back that way anymore. But there wasn't even, you know, everyone looked absolutely on top of the game. You know, this was like we were going to rip through the league. Like, I think it was important that he stayed up there. All that stuff. So I kind of looked at it. And funnily enough, I know they're playing for Manor, but okay, I think they'll win that game, and then they'll come through to Cavan, and that's obviously massive game, local game. You know, there's only a kick of a ball usually in it. But when I look at Cavan, I think Cavan progressed much better. They started off with a little bit of stuff, but then they actually, as they got to the last couple of rounds, they were really on top of it. So I don't think they'll have it all their own way against Cavan.
Only Fermanagh have been so decimated with boys leaving and different things have gone. You'll see a shell of a Fermanagh team that you seen 2 years ago in Croke Park, you know. And you know, you should see Monaghan just work out a good win today. But as for Cavan could. I wouldn't be surprised if Cavan do a number.
I kind of feel like maybe Monaghan trip through the back door would actually be the right thing for them, not coming in with an Ulster title and those crazy celebrations again. Everybody's like, oh, look, we've done the thing that we wanted to do this year, and actually get to Croke Park thinking we've got to prove ourselves here. Mm. We've got a bit of a chip on our shoulders, because the fact that Tyrone were able just to do that, like just pick their pocket so obviously and so blatantly, that must be the most frustrating thing for Monaghan fans. Any other counties who can actually make a run for a semi-final, a Tipperary style thing? Like Galway must be looking, they've got forwards.
Shay Walsh, obviously they're building their hopes around Shay Walsh. I see, Meehan back. I seen a report today that he seems to be recovering well. Galway have a tradition of Loic and Crow Park. Well, they got the monkey off their back against Kildare.
Yeah.
Was it Kildare,
Jerry? Was Kildare,
yeah. And you know what I mean? But they were very defensive. I mean,
that game was Shay a stinker. Like.
Shay Walsh, it was terrible to watch. Shay Walsh was actually in the day, his own day, more than he was in the other day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, no, I don't think they're going to be good enough to cause major trouble. I don't think so. I think, no, not what I've seen in the league.
Do you think Cork could be a surprise?
No. Emphatically, no. I think Cork are in decline, and I don't know where the basement is with them.
I think politically and everything else going on down there, it's just. And I was kind of thinking about it. I was thinking, geez, things are very quiet down in Cork, I think.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah. I just don't think. I think Kerry's, like, I mean, Tipperary are probably their main rivals down there now, you know.
Yeah, Meath had a decent league campaign. Decent.
Yeah, Meath had a decent. Like, I mean, the Down game cost them actually. When they look back on it, I think they'll have improved. I think physically wise, you know, they're looking at. I was chatting to one of the lads who's very close to it. You know, when you look at all the stats on speed and, you know, durability and all that stuff, they're right up there. So I think they'll be able to last the pace with say Dublin or Kildare,
even after. Not having a 5 or 6 year strength and conditioning program behind them, or has there been good work done on that level?
There's good work being done. So the likes of, you know, Killian O'Sullivan, you know, Padraig Harnan, Graham Riley, there's a lot of fellas who have been kind of building over the last number of years, and then they've added in about 2 or 3 really good fellas who've got a lot of pace, but he's added a bit of power now in it, so it's not just all fast, you know. And one thing he has done is he's created a bit of a defensive system, so he's trying to shut out teams to a certain degree, but also have the ability to kick the ball and get up the field.
Yeah.
So they've forwards that are quick and who can punish you. So when they come up against a team that are maybe less defensive, they will make hay. When they come up against a team that is very defensive, they struggle a bit, you know, because there's no real obvious kind of man inside who they can kick ball, who can hold up ball and bring other people into the game. I think they'll close the gap as much as Kildare will, but I still can't see them, you know, beating Dublin.
I'm at the stage where I think a defensive system will get you to an All Ireland quarter final, but I think that's as far as it takes you, because the good teams now it's not new anymore. It's just part of football. It's part of what we all do. Of course, you have to be good defensively. But the thing, and go back to Val's Cone and Galway there, that frustrated the life of that league final where they'd been playing good football during the season. I remember there was one particular game against Derry, it was like 5-15 to 3-12, so they're obviously playing on the front foot.
Yeah.
But then when you get to Croke Park, everyone shrivels back into themselves and say, oh, we've got to be hard to beat now.
In
go
fairness,
and play,
but it's
go, 15 play to your strengths.
It's 15 years since they won a game at Croke Park. Like, there is a psychological trauma inflicted on a lot of these teams that it's fine sitting here and saying.
And I accept that, but if they go and play that in an All Ireland quarter final, like, they'll just get.
Maybe they had to get that game.
Like,
Meath
have to be realistic, you know. Like, I mean, you have to be, like, they look at the games over Dublin the last number of years. It's been that last 10-15 minutes. So there's no point trying to blitz and you empty it. Like, I would much rather be in a game with 10 minutes to go and say, right, okay, we can now
push up,
flick a switch, and really have a rip at it.
That's good coaching, like. I mean, that
I think you
coaching.
Have to. You know, I get your point. Yeah, no, absolutely,
I think it's a bit of. So I think, when, so let's just, because Dublin's the standard setter, so I think, oh, we have to be really hard to beat. But and Kerry have got the best at it, that, but you've got to punch back in patches. You can't go full on the other way for 60 minutes, but you have to pick your 10, 15 minute patches in games where you're going to go, like, we're punching back here and we're going to try and go at them, yeah, rather than going soak for 60, sit tight, keep scrapping. You've got to push back at some stage, do you not?
See, the thing about it is, and these other teams that are going to defensive setups and stuff like that, there's a preoccupation there with defence, there's a preoccupation with strength and conditioning, and there's a preoccupation with, you know, making sure that they're ready and touch tight. No, but what they should be doing is working actually on basic skills and decision making. That's the two things that'll prevent you from going to a quarter final and semi final, is decision making and basic skills. We are developing players as coaches and managers who cannot make a decision in a tight situation. We'll give the ball away.
Yeah.
We'll kick a ball out over the lane. We'll kick a ball wide. Can't kick a ball from 21 yards.
That's a huge point. Right, so they talk about mass defence, and like, to be honest, a lot of them are not that well organised either. Like, they're not that well coached, they're just throwing bodies back. But I mean, the real deficit is what you said. Like, I mean, I think, like, if you look at, if a team follows you down the pitch and you're leaving 3-on-3 in half an acre of space, I can't see why you can't decorate them. Do you know what I mean? If the opposition come down at you, right, and push onto you, right, and you have three reasonably good forwards in Crowe Park with plenty of space, lads, you know, Anthony, try covering that side of space. Mm. Two, the deficit is that, like, there's only probably four clean dispossessions in a game where a fella actually gets his hand, puts it on the ball and knocks it over a fella. About four or five. I've been looking at this for the last 2 years. The really good news for everybody out there listening,
exciting
is that
stuff, Val.
Just shows our leader very sad. You know what I mean? It is. But and the gas thing is, all the dispossessions are not with the near hand. So all the bullshit that we... Sorry. About coaching, like, near hand never dispossesses. It's near hand pull, it's technically illegal, and it's dispossessed with the right hand. The other thing too we see is in terms of decision making. So if you met with a line, we'd say the common gardener mass defence, which is basically everybody get back to the 45, we don't really know what we're doing, but we're going to stand around here. Okay, so therefore we don't make good decision makers, right? So therefore, most of the times, if I'm suddenly saying four dispossessions in an hour, or 70 minutes, right? Most of the time, say there's 20 turnovers, you're kicking the ball away or running into a fella the other 16 or 18 times. Yeah. So, like, and that comes down to technical ability. The reason Connolly's such a great player is that his decision making is great. Why? Because he doesn't have to look where the ball is. He know, you know, he just plays. That's handy. I don't know where the ball is. I'll do this. I like Gooch, right? And I'll scan this thing. Yeah, here's the pass, right? The players then, you see Dublin are very good at it. They don't go take the ball into contact as much. Right?
Kieran Kilkenny is the prime example of, I suppose, a more offensive Neil Lennon in equivalence, because Kieran Kilkenny never gives away the ball.
No.
It's actually frustrating at times because he'll go across, he'll lateral, he'll get his hands on more ball than any other player, and he won't give it away. Connolly, both feet. Toe tap of both feet.
Yeah.
You know, why is Connolly the best? Because he's the most skillful.
Yeah.
Brogan the same, can kick off both feet. And we don't have enough coaches in the country. It's easy. It's lazy to put them into the defensive setup. Right. Pass the responsibility to that. It's harder to coach a tackle. It's harder to coach off both feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just persistence and a plan. That's and, you know, I mean, it's the coaching, it's experience too. Like, you'll hear things like an under 10 game, don't be kicking it with your left foot there. Like, save that for training.
Because
you're going to put it wide and you're going to lose the under 8 league, you know.
But just to add, like, when I was saying about pushing up and having to go, it wasn't as if I was saying like 50 men bombing on the pitch, but like, just building on what Danny was saying, a lot of the time, I think manners, I don't know if like laziness might be the right word, but they just conform because it's easier to say, right, we're just going to come back there, we're going to keep the scoreboard relatively close. And a lot of the times these plans aren't well thought out, they're not well executed, but it's just the easy option.
But they don't spend, coaches, we don't spend enough time, you know, on attacking ploys and different attacking shapes and different technical skills.
Were you doing that
triangle offense before I got sacked out about 10 jobs?
You hit on something there. The reason why is because all these managers and coaches say, geez, it is a bit like English soccer, where if I don't do the business in year one, I'm gone.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, and it's like, filtering down the clubs.
But there's
I
think also there's a reality as well. Like, I mean, I go back to the point, and maybe this is just my, I'm getting old and getting conservative in my management.
Well, you got two of them, right?
But you come into a situation where you're playing a superior team.
What are you going to do? You're going to defend.
And you're matching it up and you're going, okay. And you have to say, okay. No, but like, I think there's defensive systems and there's being defensive or there's being ultra defensive, right? And having no ambition whatsoever. And then there's also a thing of, okay, well, we're either playing a counter-attacking game or something like this where we look to manage to get a turnover and then we look to try to execute on the far end. But it's sometimes I think definitely Danny hits the nail in the head that some people just say, well, listen, there's safety in numbers here, everyone's doing it, so I'm going to do it, you know, and then it's just grand and we'll if we win, we win, and if we don't, sure, well, we haven't got to hide him, you know.
Yeah.
But you have to be brave and you have to unearth, and this then goes down the stream. You see, like you said there about Meade, people think you're just going to turn it on. There's not a chance you're just going to turn it on in a couple of years. You have to, like, Meade or Kildare or whoever have to be genuinely looking at under-14s, under-15s, under-16s, which I think, to be honest, they are doing, and to be fair, they are doing, and developing left, right foot. Developing the ability that you don't have to look at the ball to toe-tap, you can scan an area. Not develop, right, we need 15 back lads who can cover 100 metres in 12 seconds.
And or play
because you're
system
going to get those.
Or play to a system that's
exactly
trendy right now, but which in 5 years' time somebody else will have a much better idea.
It's called football.
But I think
you know,
the game,
get the ball
the game
the
is at a point, I think, where it just does need to evolve on one. Like, that, like the teams have figured out it doesn't work anymore. Like, Donegal did that and was brilliant, and I respect that and admire that. And it absolutely made everyone look up and go, oh, you can do stuff. But just because they did it doesn't mean that's still the tactic.
But like, can I throw a curveball at this? And I think, not to go back to your thing where you said we want to stay away from this, but I think the structure of the championship allies itself to that.
Absolutely.
Because what I say is, I'm playing
Dublin.
Cavan are playing mine, or I'm playing Dublin. And I'm saying to myself, right, lads, this is a chance, albeit with the qualifiers, right? But you're saying, I'm going to set up, if you were in a kind of a league-based system that I had seven or eight games, you'd say to yourself, I can't. Yeah. I can't possibly do this. Because I'm going to get stung. I'm going to get snuck maybe by three or four or five teams. I have to go out and win some games, get up that league.
Your home supporters will give you, just, they'll be bored and they won't
just
come.
Just to add to that point, like, I can only speak from the Cavan perspective. Like, it's like, so we got a new manager this year, and Matty came in, very much spoke about being on the front foot, but sort of after one or two games that had just eroded because pressure was on. We're in Division 1, need results, and all of a sudden we're playing a third round league game and we're playing 14 men behind the ball. So it is that pressure and it is that expectation, and that is, it's all adding into it, where I think we need one or two really brave souls to come along and say,
but I think Cavan though played a bit more certainly than say Val's time, you know. I'm not joking, Val. You were very often. No, but what I'm saying is,
thank you, Gunn.
But I think, Val, it's also the language you speak as a management team.
Yeah.
You know, you can be kind of still playing the same, but you can say, no, lads, we're much more offensive, we're much more on the front foot. Now, you go back to Tyrone's situation, they've been listening to a man for a long number of years who's been preaching the same thing to a certain degree. But getting back, I definitely think the structure of the thing definitely does not help.
No,
but
it ruins us.
Yeah.
It ruins this amazing thing that we have. It just completely ruins it.
But, Jerry, you can't. To be honest, you're like, I would be classed as defensive, right? I don't see a mass defence or a defensive system. I think of it as a forward system. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. When I'm there, I say, that's great, and you're playing club matches. They're going to hear all this, but anyway, not to worry. So they come down the field with you, and they leave 3-on-3 in the other half. And I says, this is happy days. Here's 4 goal chances. Now, if they mirror you, right, which some teams do, and they keep it +2 back, then things are a bit more difficult.
McGuinness realised,
that's what he did. That's what he realised.
But McGuinness realised in 2011, he realised that you could only go so far with Donegal. That infamous Dublin match, it was awful. Where people were actually, neutrals were actually wishing Dublin to win the game. That's the reality.
Which never happens.
No.
Not anymore.
You look at the year after. You know, he did allow the shackles to come off, and he evolved it. And he evolved it. And it's the same when the Kieran Donny came on the scene. Big man aids the square. And that's what they were
doing. But did he not have to learn? You know, was that just not a process for
him? I think so.
In the sense, he had to kind of go, okay, I've got that has gotten me so far. But now I need to go, I need to tinker with that.
He'd done that with his home team. He had done
with Glenties.
Glenties to win a championship, like. Joe, I mean, you take that, and he got stick. Dublin bet them in the semi-final that year, right? McFadden had the goal chance. So if I'm playing something like that, like you say, I was watching Arsenal versus Liverpool. Do you know what I mean? What do you call it? Was on. Merson was on telling about this famous game that they won the league in the last minute, right? And their strategy was 3 centre-backs in the first half, right? It's going to be nil all at half-time. That was the manager's idea, story. I think. Then we're going to make sure it's 0-0, right? We'll try to nick one and we'll put on an extra 4 and we'll try to win the game. right? So therefore, what we're really looking at is, can we coach a team to play three or four different ways, right? And the problem is that I would have to say, and this condemns myself as well, the level of coaching in terms of skill acquisition is poor, and in terms of tactics, it is poor.
But do you not notice that Kerry and Dublin, because they have the best players, the most skillful players, they can adapt.
The flexibility.
They can adapt to a defensive system, like Donegal or Tyrone or any Monaghan. They can adapt that because they've got the best
players.
But they also have thought about how they're going to break. They go off diagonal runs. Have late fellas right inside the player across, and then they'll have two fellas standing out, and you see one or two defenders coming late. Do you know what I mean? And or they use the offside of the defence to score.
And their kick-out strategies are a decade old at this point. Like their moves, their pre-planned moves being called off kick-outs, because they have a goalkeeper who can do that and drop it on a dime.
You talk about the structure, right? And not to harp on that, but if you're realistic, the provincial councils are never going to give up the control. Okay, when you give that up, you know they're going to be really secondary bodies. So that's the first. They're never going to do that. So the structure is never going to change in that way. But what you could do is look to filter the money out to these other counties. We need to get the money filtered out of Dublin. Not take it off them, but we need to get money up north. We need to get money out west and down south. And so if you do that, you can develop skills.
Well, so there's 8 or 10 teams that we're talking about realistically who have a chance of winning this thing. Otherwise, people are texting in saying, oh, I can't believe you're talking about Kerry and Mayo and Dublin again. Please give us something new. But it's like, well, I'm sorry.
You said 10. I wouldn't even go near 10.
No.
First division.
Eventually.
Half the first division.
Ideally.
Ideally.
Sorry. That would be great.
But the money needs to come out of headquarters, needs to go to all the counties.
Lads, ask Val, this is on Twitter, at Off the Ball. Ask Val, who scored the better point last night, Cruiser or Fitzer?
I'll give it to Fitzer.
Cruiser sent the tweet. Good man, that was perfect.
I'd have to listen to Cruiser and try him, doesn't it?
And Danny, the last time you were on, you got us all in trouble. The Down County Board ended up issuing a statement giving you and me a lot of grief for it. How are Down going to do in the championship this year, Danny?
They're going to win the All Ireland, the World Series, and everything else along with it.
That's a big sit on the fence there, Danny.
Did you make peace with the county board ever?
I tell you, do you know, to be honest with you, I got a lot of stick over that, and I got a lot of support. I actually got a lot of support for what I said. So I actually did meet a very loyal Down man now. He actually is a convert from Longford, but he's vice chairman, Jack Devaney, very, very sound fella. And we sat for about 4 hours.
All right, so he's there listening.
Well, to be fair, a lot of the stuff that they're trying to do now,
progressive.
It is progressive, you know. So to be fair, you know.
So Danny Hughes, future Down manager, not as ridiculous as it might have sounded.
No, they've definitely still got a contract out of my head. Like,
But what I'd say is, Ger, again, like we were speaking about this outside on, like the only way to develop counties, whether you're bottom rung, middle rung, or whatever it is to actually have games. Mm. Like that's it. You have to have games. Like, I mean, people were jumping up and down about the league. Oh, isn't this fantastic? Whether it was Division 1, Division 2, Division 3 or 4, you know, you're playing your teams at the same, similar level to yourself.
It's brilliant.
It's absolutely. Yeah, and brilliant. By the way, you can be guaranteed
as players. It's a brilliant game.
As players, that's what you want. Mm-hmm. You want competition. When a game is done after 25 minutes, you're just going, like your mind starts to drift. You're going, this is absolutely. You know yourself as a player, you're like, this is a cakewalk. You know, but when you're in there and you're 55 minutes gone, you're going, you don't know how this is going to end up. Like, that's what drives you on. And whether you win or lose those games, you'll come back for more the next time and you'll be mad to improve. And like, I mean, it's just crying out for it. It's absolutely crying out for it. Everyone's getting so excited about the start of the championship. And you'll be guaranteed. Exactly.
Nobody getting excited.
Well, I think RTE are. Right? But you'll be guaranteed after a week and a half or 2 weeks, it'll be kind of like, here's a few dead rubber games. This is a disaster again.
I think, I don't want, like, it's our game. I'd love to see it to them, like, but the competition has gone out of it a lot. Like, let's be straight about it. Like, I mean, we're sitting here and we're nearly picking just 3 to 4 teams.
I know, but I do think we need to just treat each game on the value of what it is. So, like, if Loud's playing Longford, just go and enjoy that game for what it is. Like, if you're watching a group game in the Champions League, you're not looking at, like, Celtic playing Hamburg and saying, oh, neither of these teams are going to win the Champions League. You just enjoy it because it's a game of sport and you go and you.
But the neutrals, in terms of the neutrals and that, like, I mean.
I take that.
I have no bother with that game. But Laffer playing Dublin.
Yeah, no, it's, yeah.
But can I,
that's where
maybe this is. Yeah. Maybe this is a better question for the likes of Al. Are we expecting too much? Are we expecting too much from a Monaghan for Man at first round game that we didn't expect in 1992?
Well, the Manon for Mana game, unfortunately, today will probably be a little bit one-sided, I would say. But, look, the competition, maybe, you see, that's the gas thing. When you're at this vast age that I am, middle-aged, like, you look back on the summers in the 80s, and, yeah. And, like, I mean, you go down, you talk to me, fellas, and we just remember the tribalism, and we hate you, you hate us, and we kill each other, and then we go for a few points.
They're still like that. Yeah.
You know, but there was great football, we say. It probably, like, Leinster needs a good a competitor, at least one competitor. We need Kildare, we need a good Kildare
it
and a good Mead to come through. Yeah,
it needs to
waking
up.
And much beyond the fact that Dub is saying we'd love to see them. We'd love to see them.
But here. I still don't think that's like, I think honestly, I just think that it has evolved. I think there's too much. And listen, you're probably like, I'm wearing my CPA hat to a certain degree here, but there's too much. There's too much focus on it. There's too much attention on it. Like, okay, you know, we look back at the 80s or 90s, Val. Like, I think the thing has grown so much now. There's so much going behind it that for all of this input and all of this energy and all of this kind of work that's going on behind it, for it to just be that the system is still the same, you kind of go,
what's that let you down?
But only that system's there would we have the grounds that we have throughout the country. Like, there's no bad football fields now.
Yeah, but the money was still there. Yeah.
I've got to go on. Yeah. Val,
Before we wrap up, lads. Kieran Smith, the winchman who was lost in Rescue 116, I had the privilege to train him for 2 years with the Wild Geese. His memorial service is on today at 3 o'clock, and hopefully I'll catch the end of it. But to be quite honest, I would like to play tribute to him because he was a genuine warrior. He played Division 7 hurling football. He was brave, courageous. And he was, you know the way you often say when a parent passes, like, he was a great fella. He was a great fella. He always had a smile on his face, and he couldn't do enough for the community. For his parents and his family, and especially his wife and kids, I extend sympathies, and you're in our prayers. Thanks.
Good stuff, Val. Thanks very much.
Off the Ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.